Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
What's up, everybody? JP Finley here for another episode of Redskins Talk the Podcast. I am joined by the Sports Talk Live team, Rob Carlin.
Hello.
And Brian Mitchell.
Hey.
All right, so we're going to dive in.
Hey.
As you guys know, we do this in conjunction with a Facebook Live on B. Mitch's page. So we're also going to be taking questions from Facebook Live users. I want to start with a conversation we were having in the studio.
Which one?
Did you ever play? And so we started talking about this because I'm going to the Senior Bowl next week to cover the Skins. You guys have both been down to Mobile. Did you ever play in the Senior Bowl or the Shrine Game, any of that?
I never played in the East-West Shrine or the Senior Bowl. Actually, I played in the American Bowl, the name of it was. It was actually in Houston, Texas at the old Astrodome. And the guy who was the director over it happened to be driving through Lafayette, Louisiana. He had stopped for gas, and he started reading some on the sports page. And they had an article about my stats and things from college. So he basically, in his mind, felt that they wasn't going to invite me to go to the Senior Bowl or go to the East-West Shrine Game. I was a quarterback. So he went to the athletic department. They gave him my number, and he invited me to play in the American Bowl. And Emmett Thomas, who was the defensive back coach at the Redskins at the time, saw me there. And he said, "You know, we're gonna give you a call. You know, what position you want to play if you get to the pros?" I said, "I just want to play in the pros. I don't care where." And then he sent Don Brough, the running back coach, down to work me out. He and Kirk Mee. And I didn't hear from him after that workout. So I was like, "Damn, but they do good." And on draft day, they called me and said, "We're gonna draft you with our next draft
pick." What's the interesting thing about the American Bowl?
It was for historically black colleges and universities.
Which you
and
did not go to.
I did not go to a historic black college or university. And when I got there, you could feel the animosity from some of the guys. And,
oh, really?
And my coach was Eddie Robinson, legendary Eddie Robinson from Grambling. Even Eddie had a little attitude with me at one point. I said, "Coach, look, I didn't ask to come here. They invited me. And I mean, any opportunity I have, I want to play." He said, "Well, what you going to play?" I said, "Wherever you put me." I said, I know you got your guy," because his quarterback was there. "So I would play anywhere you put me." So they said, "Well," and then he said, "I'm going to put you everywhere that you have a chance of playing in the NFL." So I line up in the slot. I play running back. I play some quarterback. I play some receiver. I even line up at defensive back during practice and stuff like that. And it worked out. I played for 14 years.
That's really interesting that Eddie Robinson from the historically black colleges would look at you. And it's not like you were plucked off the
Nebraska.
Or USC at the time or something. You were coming from a small school. And you're a black player. It's not like, you know.
And you're from Louisiana.
But, you know, it was their thing.
Right.
And now you got an outsider coming in.
Right, it's interesting.
And, you know, I came in with the same attitude y'all see me with every day. I thought I was the best guy there.
Right.
And I get that kind of rubbed people the wrong way. It could have been more of my attitude than it was out there.
Now we're flushing it out a little bit more.
I'll tell you more about this. One quick thing. You remember the group, LeVert? It was Gerald. Yeah. It was LeVert. Gerald LeVert. His brother Sean and their cousin, or the skinny one. I don't know if that was their brother or their cousin. Well, the lady I was dating at the time, they were trying to rap to her in my face. And I'm like, "Dude.
While you're in Houston for this?"
Yeah, I said, y'all might be popular, but not down here. That doesn't work. So, you know.
Clearly, those guys hadn't heard
we're about
your
to put the things on them.
Horse story. Like, you will defend what is yours.
Hey, you know, but. Everything worked out good. She left with me.
The cool thing you said also there is how hard of the workout was with Don Bro. That you said it was every drill you could imagine.
Dude, they worked me at everything possible. And I was running tracks, and I pulled my hamstring. So he came in, and, you know, last thing you want to do is tell somebody you're injured. When you're coming from a small school, and you're trying to get seen. So I went to a physical therapist that day, and I'm talking about crying. She was digging. And she said, you'll be able to get through the workout. And I ran 4:41 for him on the grass with a pulled hamstring. So after I ran 4:41, he said, oh, man, we thought you were like 4:05. So I said, coach, and I have a pulled hamstring, see? After I finished, I pulled it up and made sure he understood.
That's pretty neat. So, Redskins fans, now you know the story of how Brian Mitchell landed in the burgundy and gold. And I think fans are very happy you did. The big topic right now, I think, it's still the defensive coordinator, more so than the offensive coordinator. What are your thoughts on all the latest, and we talked about this on your show, just kind of where the Skins are and where they're going to go?
My thoughts is, why are they taking so long to hire someone? And I understand that, you know, Bradley is telling them he has to wait and see. The moment a coach tells me I'm waiting to see somewhere else, I'm going to the next guy and I'm going to try to get it done. Because at that point, suppose the guy you – as your second pick, he ends up going somewhere, and then Bradley go. Then you're left with your pants down.
Well, and what if they were waiting on Bradley with Wade Phillips, and then next thing you know, Wade Phillips is with the Rams.
But Phillips is with the Rams,
right?
But Bradley still has them waiting because he's trying to go to. He says he's going to San Diego, but he better go to L.A. because the Chargers are no longer in San Diego.
So who do I owe a dollar to for saying San Diego?
The Kangaroo Court. It's gonna the money's gonna start piling in.
Right. I say he said.
Right. No, I said on your show, you busted me on that, didn't you?
I did.
All right. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yeah, way to get him out.
Yeah.
What about Mike Pettine?
It's something about Pettine that kind of – that I look at Pettine a lot like I look at Rex's
– Rob?
Rob. Yeah, Rob. Rob. I think Rex is big little brother, but he's bigger than Rex. Rob, because when you look at their stats – they haven't been very good for a long time.
True.
And we just went through that with Joe Barry.
Right.
I don't want to see the exact same thing. And I think when they said Rob Ryan was in the building, the Redskins fans stood. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Don't your friends know?
And the Redskins fans stood up and said no, just like they did with Jim Fossil.
Right.
You know, that right there was very, very trying. I mean, I just think that.
The
franchise, they need to get somebody and go forward because I feel there are a lot of things that I think is in play. Jay Gruden has 2 years. It's kind of hard for a D coordinator to come in here and say, well, we just got 2 years to do something.
Right.
Then on top of that, they don't have a lot of talent.
Well, that's the bigger thing. We can talk about coaches and what system fits and Mike Pettine's track record and Gus Bradley's track record. Gus Bradley was great. With the Legion of Boom, right?
Right.
I mean, that's he had all of the best players on defense.
True.
So, you know, until they draft and fix that defense or whatever free agency moves they're going to make, and we talked about this last week, they're six players away, impact players. And I'm not talking about Pro Bowlers, but I'm just talking about six
impact
on-the-field players away, whether it's, you know, four starters and your top two backups or whatever, but they're not close with bodies.
Defensively, for sure.
On defense.
Totally.
So,
totally agree.
You know, like, look, it does concern me. A lot of times when you...
God.
Who is this guy?
Cotter, stop calling.
Come on, man.
Some people crazy, man.
So, real quick, so the podcast listeners know...
Wait, that's the podcast. Don't touch that.
All right, things are getting a little haywire here. We got a lot going on.
We got phones ringing.
Somebody keeps calling B. Mitch's phone that's hosting the Facebook Live, so that's why we keep yelling at whoever keeps calling, just so you guys understand that. All right, let's do a question from the Facebook Live.
Yeah.
Rolando Cedeno, I think this is an interesting question because at some point we're tired of talking about coordinators, right, until something happens.
Yeah, until he hires somebody.
Rolando wants to know, B. Mitch, would you take two number ones for Kirk Cousins, and would you be comfortable going into the season with Colt and Sudfeld?
I wouldn't be comfortable going into the season with Colt and Sudfeld. I'm going to answer that question first. Will I take two number ones? If they offer two number ones, Rob and I talked last night on our show, you have to listen.
That's a lot.
The thing for me, I'm not comfortable with the people making the decisions. Okay, I understand that when Scott came in, we all gave him carte blanche. We all felt he was the guy. But the more you find out about all the decisions that were made when he was with San Fran and Seattle, he didn't make them all.
Right.
The one decision that he did make, he chose Alex Smith over Aaron Rodgers. Okay? So if you get rid of Kirk and you want to get another quarterback, that decision right there will tell me that I'm a little leery. So, but I probably would take two first rounds over for get somebody out of there.
I said last night on
our show. That's a haul.
I said last night on our show, if what we have been led to believe is true, which is there's people in the big offices in Ashburn that don't feel comfortable in Kirk. If that's true, and the inevitable is they're going to franchise him, and then let him walk, and someone calls and offers two first rounders, you have to listen.
Well,
I mean, you have to. Now, I want to go further. It's not what the Rams or what the Redskins offered the Rams for Robert. They swapped first picks. I'm talking.
No, they swapped and gave up two.
Well, they swapped 1 year and then gave up a second year.
No, two more years.
They gave up two for Robert.
First round,
two first rounders,
two first rounders. Okay.
They swapped that year. They gave up two first round and they gave up some extra picks for Robert.
They gave up. They swapped 2012, and they gave up 13 and 14.
Because
remember Gruden's comment about, I've been here
right.
3 years, our first-round picks have been a receiver that didn't play and a guard.
And a guard, right. So, right, so I got that wrong. But the point is that I'm not swapping this year's picks and then next year. I want two first-round picks.
Yeah, two new picks.
I want four first-round picks in my next 2 years, whether that's – now the question also becomes – and this is all such hypothetical stuff, which is fun.
Which is what you talk about when the Skins aren't playing and it's January.
Right. So it's all hypothetical. But if the I'll go a deeper dive for both of you.
Oh, Kyle.
If the 49ers called and said, "We'll give you two first round picks, but not this year. You can't have our second overall pick. We'll give you first round pick in 18 and first round pick in 19, but can't have our second rounder." Would you do that for Kirk? Because then, if Kirk goes there and they get a bump up to 6 or 7 wins, now their first pick is
14, 15.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, is it? Does that change your thinking? Because that would alter my. I don't want to trade a quarterback.
It'll alter it, but see, the thing with me,
changes a little bit.
It changes a lot. I'm a little leery of the decision, the people who make the decision.
Well, and then there's also...
But this is what would you do, regardless of what they might do.
See, what would I do? I would sign Kirk to a long-term deal and be done with it.
What happens next let Kirk go is so scary.
Let's say he plays...
We go back to the last
He plays terrific this year,
which
24 mil. Then the next year is 35 million.
You can't...
I don't want your long-term deal.
Right.
The third year, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Now, if you want a franchise, I said, look, franchise me, because I'm not signing a long-term deal. So he would have gotten 70-something million over 3 years. The way that they're franchising and our fans keep thinking, oh, he's going to break the bank, they could have had $6 million extra to spend on top of the 14 that they didn't spend this year.
Right.
If they don't do it, I mean, last year, if they don't do something this year, they're going to be short $7 million or $6 or $7 million from spending on somebody because he doesn't get a long-term deal.
And most teams
it benefits them to do a long-term deal.
Most teams have to backload long-term deals because that's where they'll have the space. They'll figure it out later. They have the space right now, so they wouldn't even have to backload it and put a lot.
But backloading now, maybe you want to renegotiate them get later. Like Rob said, they're 6 short on defense.
Right.
Backloading it would allow them to get a lot of people
quicker
on defense right now.
With your quarterback.
And then in 3-4 years, you figure out what you want to do.
And if there is this group, again, we're all going on the assumption because they hasn't signed them yet.
Yeah.
So we're going on the assumption that someone or two people don't feel comfortable. And now you're going to look at the championship weekend. And look at the four teams and the four quarterbacks
that have.
And look at the reasons why some of the teams. I mean, the Texans are there.
But
they gave Brock Osweiler. And if anyone's going to start saying, well, you see, they gave Brock Osweiler. Kirk Cousins has done two back-to-back years.
Better than him.
He did 4.5 games and then got benched for 39-year-old Peyton Manning.
So I want to ask, because you said this 30 seconds ago or whatever. You said, well, what if Kirk goes out and is terrific next year? And you're like, he will do it again. So do you have him as a terrific quarterback?
No,
like,
you could, I think in this system with Jay Gruden calling the plays. Mm-hmm. Now, look, if Pierre comes back, I feel a little bit better about it. But I think if it's Crowder, if Doxson's healthy and what we think he could be, and Jordan Reed, and whatever running backs, they haven't had a running game for 2 years, I still think he's going to put up 4,000-plus yards.
I don't think it gets back to 49, but I think...
Right, but right. He'll put up 4,300 yards next year with 25 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. That's...
Now, let's take
a step. Then you got to pay him $35
million. What if the defense gets better? Which means more offensive
possessions. Yeah.
And because how many times, third and 18, the team get the first down.
Right.
That was less offensive possession. But if the defense gets better, you give him more possessions, he may get over 5,000.
And I think it's two more wins. Because if
the defense was better this year, they're 10 wins.
Or 10 wins.
But the thing you name, four quarterbacks, Matt Ryan, 10th year. Aaron Rodgers going into 13th.
Which is crazy.
Ben going into his 14th. Tom going into his 18th. But we all compare Kirk, who has 2 years of starting, to those four guys.
Right.
And let's not forget Aaron Rodgers sat for his first couple of years.
So if he has 4 or 5 years starting, he's no longer going to be this guy. But for some reason in this city, we judge him like he has to be a 10, 11, 12-year guy.
I think
he's
quarterbacks
learning.
Everywhere are now judged that.
That said, the four guys you named, now Rodgers did sit. I believe Matt Ryan went to an NFC title game as a rookie or his second year. I mean,
Roethlisberger.
Great offense.
Roethlisberger, Brady. I mean, but those guys.
Great offense, great defense.
I don't think we're trying to compare Kirk to those guys regardless, though, right?
No.
But that's what everybody around here that,
but that's what we've been
that
doing
says every number to us. Because think about it. Ben went to Super Bowls early.
Right.
A couple of Super Bowls were awful.
Right. Rodgers only been to one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rodgers been to one. So you look at the stats that Kirk has put up compared to the stats they had put up.
No, he's been to two, right? 1-1.
No, he went, lost. Right?
To the Steelers?
They lost to the
– no. No,
they won.
Beat the Steelers.
Right. That's so he's only been to one, right.
Yeah. And that's 13 years.
So I don't know if
years
saw...
on a well-run organization.
Right. Yeah.
I wrote a story about this. Josh Norman went on FS1 with Cowherd and Whitlock, and it was a lot of shouting, as you might imagine. Mm-hmm. But Norman made that exact point, and Norman compared it to Cam. He's like, look, Cam's been in the league for 5 seasons as the starter, and you saw him really blossom. Kirk's only had 2 seasons. True. And so players understand that as well.
Players understand it. And I think, ultimately, when a lot of media guys sit down and look at it, they understand it. But our fans in this area don't seem to understand it.
It's just also
because we're
number.
Comparing him to the top guys instead of comparing him to guys in the light.
It's just also the number. And it's because of the his lottery
right.
in life
yeah.
has come up for him. So his contract came up after his good year when the salary cap exploded. So his number is going to be $125 million, right. And that freaks people out because Kirk Cousins is not, quote-unquote, $125 million quarterback.
It's almost inevitable that he'll be overpaid.
What did Josh Norman say, though?
But as soon as he's
going
overpaid,
right.
that's a going rate for a better-than-average quarterback.
Right. And then Matt Stafford's going to break that. And then who's next up? There's another Derek Carr's going to break
right.
that.
Yeah.
So in 3 years, by the time – So you want to renegotiate. If you do a 5-year deal, you're going to probably renegotiate for 2 or 3 years.
You know what you say?
He's going to be an underpaid. He's going to
right.
be the sixth highest paid quarterback.
iPhone.
Right.
Every year they went up in price.
Yeah.
So
sure.
every quarterback that becomes a free agent, they're going up in price.
Well, and it's like.
Right?
You look at the Wiz and John Wall. There was debate if John Wall should be a max deal guy. And
right.
oh my gosh, how much money is that? John Wall is the biggest bargain in the NBA
right,
right. now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's what people need to realize.
John Wall is still the best player on that team. Bradley Beal makes the most money.
By far.
Because the CBA hit it like that.
Right.
John's going to shatter what Bradley is making next time.
Right.
So people need to just realize football money, basketball money, it's not like our money.
Right.
You know, you get a $10,000 raise for the next 5 years in a lot of our jobs.
Dude, I'd take that.
But I'm saying.
You're telling me I get $10,000?
No, I'm saying. Not per year.
Right.
That's over the 5 years.
I know.
Gotcha.
In football, you can go from making $400,000 to $20 million in 1 year. Think about that.
It's basically what Kirk did.
Yeah, it is. All right, so we've debated what they should do, what they shouldn't do. I think we all agree they should sign him. You think they will?
I think ultimately they will.
Long term or franchise?
I think they're gonna franchise and they'll get a deal done before the season this time.
Okay.
Because I think
so before that like summer deadline.
June. I think what happens is you're gonna have more people that are getting closer to needing quarterbacks. And why start over? When you're already secured on the offensive side, why start over? It makes no sense to me.
Carlin?
I said that last year. So, you know, like I said, the same exact thing last year. If you have a quarterback, you can't go back to the last 20 years of searching for a quarterback.
I was cheating off of your stuff.
And then, yeah, and then here we are.
I'm good. I was just leaning back.
I'm moving your way.
I was leaning back.
All right, all good.
So, you know,
damn,
I don't,
AJ?
Whatever the thing is that's making them feel that he's not the guy.
You know what I think makes them feel like he's not the guy? That they made a mistake with the other guy. And they hold.
It's
human nature sometimes to like.
But that's
that guy since the draft day was point of contention, wasn't it?
Oh my gosh.
But he's playing for you now. He's doing well. Who cares?
Not since draft day. Draft day, he was a hero. His first year, he was an absolute hero.
No, he's talking about Kirk.
I'm talking about Kirk.
Kirk
has been a point because.
Why would you draft him?
And not because of nothing he did.
Exactly.
But for me, ultimately, the fact that he's the guy who's getting it done.
But flip.
I don't give a damn how he got here, what he did. He's performing. And I want people to understand everybody makes mistakes.
And it's genius. If you look back on it now and think
about it. Mike Shanahan did them a favor. Oh, my Lord. That's...
One more call for B. Mitch.
That was 9-8.
You guys want to rip through some questions?
Sure.
Yes.
All right. Now I got to come up with one. A lot of folks think your shirt shows off your biceps.
The guns.
And somebody said Carlin should arm wrestle B. Mitch.
I did get up this morning. I did some curls because I knew I was going to be doing today.
It's just
the shirt. And I just did it on the left side because I knew it'd be over.
It's just the shirt. It's the pleat.
I have been working out. I try to do 55 minutes of cardio daily.
I would do it, but since you're on that side, JP... I would think that it would be
a natural fit. So. I don't think it'd be much of a matchup, Facebook. I'm sorry. This is a good one for you, Brian. Deshaun's, I think we all agree, more than likely gone, right? It seems that Deshaun's gone.
I'm thinking.
Do they move? Do you not think he's gone?
Well, after I look at the top 25 free agents today, and Deshaun is number 17 or 18, and Pierre wasn't on the list. I think they have a better chance of signing Pierre at a price that they want to than signing Deshaun at a price they want to. And I think Deshaun is going to get some looky-lookies from a lot of places.
Yep.
I think he might have been the first receiver on that list.
So the one I pulled up is from SpotTrack.com. You know who number one is on the list? Kirk Cousins.
Well,
number one free agent.
The list I saw was Mr. Le'Veon Bell.
Is he a free agent or is that like a reworked contract?
He's a free agent.
Well, then this list is wrong. But
Le'Veon Bell was one. The safety.
Eric Berry.
Eric Berry, and then Kirk was number three.
That's interesting. I almost wonder.
I can't imagine Eric Berry's going anywhere.
Well, if they let him go, they're stupid. Dontari Poe also.
And Dontari Poe is like five or six.
Okay. But if Deshaun goes, do they move Crowder? Is he still your slot guy?
No. You leave Crowder right where he's at. And you're hoping that your first-round draft pick, Doxson from last year, will be able to step up and become the number one guy where he can, you know, outside and also can try and stretch the field. But Crowder is an advantage every week with a third cornerback.
In the slot.
Oh, dude. The guy, I mean, you watch him on the field, and the thing is, it's laughable. I mean,
his footwork is fantastic,
dude. He lights people up. So I think having Crowder and Reed healthy, the other two guys don't have to be spectacular.
Yeah, well, I mean, the development. So I've been The development of Josh Doctson is going really under the radar right now because Kirk, DeSean Pierre, there's two coordinators. There's a lot of much bigger fish to fry, I suppose.
Yeah.
But this team desperately needs Doctson in 2017.
They do, especially if, you know, and we assume DeSean will be gone. But for me, I would say whatever happened with Doctson is not because he's not trying. I've been over there three times this week to do my radio show. That dude is there every day. Him, Garvin, you know.
I saw Mason Foster. Foster there today.
Was there. Those guys
are working
hard.
A
bunch of these young guys are getting it in over there. And I'm talking not one, two. I've seen like almost 10, 11 guys. That right there, when you take, they took off a couple days and they went right back to work.
Right.
This is a different mindset.
I agree. And
most guys run out of town.
And Carlin, I think you can speak to this well. I know you haven't been out there maybe this season, but the culture in that locker room, and maybe locker room culture doesn't win you games, but it can sure help. And they've got a good group of guys there that are, think about it, we didn't see much anonymous sourcing, ripping one another, and those guys are working out, like you mm-hmm. said, compared to what it was 3, 4, 5 years ago.
I mean, you know, it was a clown show three, four, 5 years ago. The weird thing was, though, just to contradict it a little bit, the anonymous sourcing always came when Shanahan said
right.
and Robert's camp said and Schefter said and all that kind of stuff happened. But as far as the culture in the locker room, I think the bigger problem that usually came out was, you know, it was too loose of a locker room. I never walked in and felt like, this is a bad locker room. Now, there's no one was around to talk to the media because seasons were spiraling out of control. And
right.
every question, every player was about Robert. So I understood why there was no one around when they were 3-11.
Right.
But a lot of times I'd walk in and I'd be like, this locker room doesn't feel like a 3-11 locker room. They're shooting hoops over there. They're playing cards over here. Everyone's joking around. You know, people seem to be working out. You know, like I couldn't really speak to that as far as the off season. I wasn't around the off season, but it was a weird place because I've been in losing locker rooms and you walk in and you're like, oh, there's like a morgue in here. There is no one around. Yeah. No one's talking to you. I always felt in the Redskins locker room, we were like, does anyone care that you guys are 3-11? Like, it was such like a loose atmosphere.
And I think that vibe has changed too. I remember the week, so going into week 3 after the Skins lost to the Steelers, lost to the Cowboys, that locker room going to New York was angry. There was no looseness because they knew it was only week 3 and they had to win. They were already in that situation.
Yeah, and I think it makes a hell of a difference. And I'll also say this, when guys are losing, they may work hard, but they're going to keep being who they are.
Right.
And I think Rob has a point. It can get to a point where it gets too far out there and the outside will think they don't care. But I think the leadership has changed.
Right. And I didn't
now.
Mean like – I'm not saying
the leadership has changed because I heard the same thing about the locker room before. But the leadership has changed. When they lose now, certain guys are pissed off.
Right.
Which
Big
means
time.
The other guys kind of hold back the laughter.
Yep. Because you don't, if somebody's over there beating up their locker, you're going to take it easy playing music on your phone and kind of giggling, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The one that really stood out to me, do you remember that Chargers game 3, 4 years ago when I think it went to OT and they thought Woodhead scored and he didn't score and then the Skins won it late?
Yes.
But I think they won that game to get their like fourth win of the year and they were at 4-10 or whatever. That locker room, you would have thought they won the Super Bowl. And I always found it interesting because in some ways it's like, oh, my God, at least we just won a game. You know,
it's so hard to win. And I think we all look at it like when I was playing, I understood when coaches said. Now I look at it and go, hell, if you all don't make all the mistakes, you'll win. But when you get a victory, okay, if it's your first one or your 10th one, feels good, especially when you lost. Like 8 in a row, and
right.
you win one.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, Lord, at least we got that monkey off our back.
Right. All right. Good question here from Damian Jaggers. Damian, what's up, man? So Damian's asking, will the Redskins consider drafting a running back at 17 with their first pick?
I think it'd be a mistake.
What if one of these elite talent guys gets there?
If Leonard Fournette's there, maybe I think about it.
Dalvin
Cook's there?
Maybe I think about it. But it also... Who else is there? Because it's so easy to be like, well, what if he's there?
Right.
I need to know who else is there.
Right. Let me ask you a question.
If I can get a starting linebacker or defensive lineman, or Dalvin Cook, knowing where my team is right now,
yep.
I'm going to take...
It's tough.
It's, you know, like, I don't know that I could definitely say, like, I'm taking that, dude, because then we're looking at, why'd we get Josh Doxson?
Right.
I'll ask you a question. We saw every year Matt Millen drafted.
Every year he
drafted the top receiver there.
That's so funny.
And they sucked every year.
Yeah.
So would I take a running back at 17? No. I'm taking a defensive tackle, or I'm taking a linebacker, somebody who could stop the other team's back and give it to me. Then I'm going to try to get another defensive player. Then I'm going to work on a guard somewhere in the fourth round or the fifth round, because I still feel that left guard position is a problem. I know he was banged up some, but before he was banged up, he was on skates. So I wanted to get LaValle.
Yeah, I know. But
I want to get the defense tight. Because if the defense makes a major step this year, not 20 steps, a major step, that's another 20 offensive possessions. And I think if you give them 20 more possessions and the passing game stays the same, with the offensive line being together an extra year, because you look at the injuries they had last year, that doesn't happen every year. Dallas had none. They're going to have some injuries this year. That's football.
Yeah.
So the Skins stay healthy. Those running backs they have can be serviceable enough for what they have at receiver and tight end. And then you look at your defense, if they get better, now the team overall is better. I'm going to go to my grave. Engine transmission is the most important thing of a car. Not just how it looks. Because, you know, I can guarantee if you got somewhere to go and you don't even have no doors on the damn car, if it starts, you can drive. But if you have a Ferrari body and you don't have a transmission in it, you'd be sitting there by yourself looking, and ain't no lady getting in there with you.
Oh, that was we were going to do dating advice.
I just told him.
All right.
Make sure your car moves or you will not have a woman.
That is it. That is the baseline to at least – we'll launch into more dating advice maybe once we get some coordinators hired.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get to the big stuff and then –
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to talk about something come March.
We're going to talk. Rob has some advice. I've heard him talk a lot. He was the dude back in the day.
I believe it.
I'm a happily married man. I love my daughters.
But you can say how it used to
be. I'm a happily married man, and I love my daughters.
Me too. But I like to tell what I've learned along the way.
How about this one? I'm going to move us along here. Derek Eads. Derek, this is a good question. Should the Skins, and I'm not, this is no way will this be in the first round, but should they draft another quarterback?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
You have to.
But not in the first round?
Not in the first round.
Right.
But again, we're going on the basis that there's people in that office that don't trust Kirk.
I don't even know that's the case because they might trust him, but just not trust him
about the price tag.
So that means they're going to eventually have to let him go.
What round are you thinking about drafting Kirk? I mean, another quarterback.
I'm just throwing it out there.
From what I've heard people talk about Sudfeld, you would think Sudfeld's the next coming. And based on what I saw in preseason, he's not.
He looked better in the games than he did in practice.
Okay.
Early.
That's cool.
I mean, that's preseason.
And I thought he looked better in the games against the guys that were not playing this year.
But you almost, in this day and age, have to keep searching. Like, you know.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to stumble upon.
You never know what you're going to stumble upon. And like you said, the inevitable happens and, you know, Aaron Rodgers goes down or Tom Brady goes down. That's why they have Jimmy Garoppolo.
What round did they draft Jimmy?
What round was that?
I'll look. I want to say like a third-ish.
Third or fourth round. But I don't think there are going to be many.
But Garoppolo was a guy. Like, that was a who's going to fall into Jimmy Garoppolo.
They felt he
second
was
round.
The
second round.
They felt he was the next coming.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers, late first.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, the only one that was a sixth-round pick.
Nate Sudfeld, the sixth-round pick.
Yeah, but he ended up.
Stop it.
All right, let's go to the next question.
Stop it.
I like Nate Sudfeld. He's a nice kid.
Yo, he is a really nice kid.
Yeah.
I like this one from Rob Goudreau. Rob, thank you for the question. Wait, this answer. All right, I'm going to remove playoff wins because the answer is very obvious because you won a Super Bowl. What was your most satisfying win with the Redskins? Playoffs are not a non-playoff game.
So remove all those wins?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Actually, the first game
Remember
that I played
line?
It was preseason.
When you return the opening
kick? I returned the opening kick for a touchdown. I made the squad. We won the game. You know, that's a good one.
Yeah. You've heard the Charlie story, right?
No, tell it.
The Casserly story?
Yeah, because Jack Ken Cook was like, you drafted a 5'10 quarterback? And he said, Mr. Cook, he's not going to play quarterback. So I go out and return the kickoff.
Charlie, you better be right about this.
And I returned the open kickoff and did Jack Ken Cook. What did he tell him?
So he said, you better be right about this, Charlie, or it's your job. That's on the line. And Charlie's like, oh, Brian, you better be good. Opening kickoff, first preseason game of his career, first time he ever touches the ball, takes it back to the house. He said he's up with Charlie, with Jack Ken Cook in his owner's box after the game. And he's going, I told him we got the right kid when we
got him. I knew he was going to be a good one.
Charlie, I knew he was going to be a
all right, that is a great story, and that is a great story to end Redskins Talk the podcast on. You guys want to say anything, say goodbyes here? How do people find you? Twitters, Facebooks?
Me, at Rob Carlin, CSN, is my Twitter account.
And mine is at BMitch Live, CSN. That's my Twitter account. You can catch me at Brian Mitchell on Facebook. I'm BMitch30 on Instagram.
I don't know that I follow you on Instagram. I need to do that.
I don't do a lot of it, but I'm starting to get there.
All right.
Starting to get there.
Instagram's, it's like Facebook without the politics, man. It's just pictures. It's
just
fun.
Pictures.
You can make comments.
Naturally, you can put your dating advice.
All right, we're getting out of here before the dating advice.
Pictures is trouble.
Guys, thank you very much for listening, as always. And check me out on Twitter, too. JP Finley, CSN. Thanks.
I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.